Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another broadcast of Understanding the Father's Love. I'm Rabbi John Atkins. I'm a Messianic pastor, and I have as my co-host, Mr. Steve Foreman, and we together are bringing to you a better understanding, I pray, of the biblical understanding of the Heavenly Father and what the Father is beginning to do and beginning to say as far as to his character and how we as parents, and for those of you that are listening that are fathers or soon to be fathers, how we are supposed to walk in this anointing, how we're supposed to be that, not maybe perfect father, but definitely that functional father that fulfills his role and purpose on the earth that God has given us. It's a gift. It's a special gift given only to fathers, as well as to those that are listening that are parents. This is also something that you can extract from, something that you can glean from, something that you can learn from. Now, we've been talking about the biblical characteristic of our Heavenly Father. And before we get started, because I'm just excited about this particular topic, and actually this episode of what we're going to be talking about as far as the anger of the Father, our Heavenly Father's anger against those that oppose his children, as well as his anger pertaining to his children when they are disobedient. So biblically, we're going to be talking about that. But before we do it, Pastor Doug, we are going to allow you to bless this broadcast, to bless this particular time, and to be able to allow us to do according to God's mandate as far as blessing him before we actually allow the Torah to be revealed. Pastor Doug.
Baruch atah Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen and amen. Well, Father, we thank you. We glorify you for this day. We submit this broadcast to you, this episode to you, Father. Reveal to us more, a better understanding, a comprehensive spiritual and actual understanding of how you as a father deal with us as your children, both obedient and disobedient. Help us to understand the anger that it causes you when anyone touches your little ones, but also for us as your little ones, how we tend to push your buttons to get you angry and get you into a place that you would rather not be. So, Father, help us so that we can execute properly all of the mandates that you have, so that we never fulfill anger that you desire against our enemies upon us. So we glorify you, we magnify you, and we just submit the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to come in and just begin to help us understand and help us apply properly in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Well, Mr. Steve, the scriptures that we have before us today, and the book that we have before us today, is Lamentations chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Lamentations chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to be looking at that both in the King James Version, first and foremost, and then also in the Amplified, the King James Version, and then the Amplified. So with that, I'm going to pass it to you to kind of welcome us, and then we'll go ahead and have you go ahead and begin to read that in the King James first, and then the Amplified. Mr. Steve.
Hello, everyone. I'm really looking forward to today because I when I read the scriptures, I begin to wonder what Father God thinks of us today. And some of the things that we're doing today that might cause Father God to bring his wrath down on us. So I'm going to start reading now from 2, in the King James verse. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath thrown back his right hand from before the enemy, and he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire, which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy, he stood with his right hand as an adversary, and slew all that were pleasant to the eye. In the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion, he poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was as an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel, swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds, and hath increased in the daughter of Judah be mourning and lamentation. And he hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his palaces of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in his indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord has cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of the solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying, therefore he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. The prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with a sackcloth. Virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Now I'm going to be reading the same verses in the Amplified now, starting in the same area, 2:1, Lamentations 2:1 in the Amplified. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion, Jerusalem, with a cloud in his anger. He hath cast down from heaven to the earth the glory and splendor of Israel, and has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up. He has not spared all the country places of Jacob. In his wrath he has thrown down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah, Jerusalem. He has brought them down to the ground in disgrace. He has debased the kingdom and its princes. In fierce anger he has cut off and destroyed every horn of Israel. He has withdrawn his right hand from the presence of the enemy, and he has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire, consuming all around. He has bent his bow like an enemy. He has set his right hand like an adversary, and slain all that were delightful and pleasing in the eye. In the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his wrath like fire. The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all his palaces. He has destroyed his strongholds and multiplied in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation, expressions of grief. And he has violently broken down the temple like a fragile garden hedge. He has destroyed his appointed meeting place. The Lord has caused the appointed feast and Sabbath to be forgotten in Israel, and he has despised and rejected the king and the priest. In the indignation of his anger, the Lord has rejected his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has given into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as on the day of an appointed feast, the Lord determined to lay in ruins the city wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not stopped his hand from destroying. He has caused the rampart and the wall to in lament, mourning, grief. They have languished together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more. Also, her prophet is no longer fine. Vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground, keeping silent. They have thrown dust on their heads. They have covered themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. Thank you for the scripture.
Amen. And a couple of questions come up, I'm sure. But one of the questions that I want to pose to you, Mr. Steve, first, I need to say this before I give you the question, and that is, everyone that's listening to this particular broadcast, you need to understand that our Heavenly Father is the ultimate, which means that even in his discipline, it's an ultimate level. It's the ultimate level. So whereas for me and my house, with the way that I would discipline my children, it's minuscule. It's a minor thing. Even the discipline is minor compared to my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. So as we're scaling this, I'm going to ask that question to Mr. Steve from a standpoint of the scale. So when we answer, when he shares, you know, his experiences and I share my experiences, understand that the Heavenly Father's experience is going to be so much more intense than ours. But it's meant that way because God is God. Our Heavenly Father is, he's everything. He's the highest level of whatever it is. So with that, his disciplines will be at the extreme level. Also, keep in mind, his love will also 1,000 times more be at an extreme level. So, yes, we're talking about the anger of our Heavenly Father, but keep this in mind, that his love is 1,000 times greater. So now, with that being said, Mr. Steve, question that I have, or at least one of the questions that I have for you, is if you can share a time when your anger got riled up because you had to deal with a situation with your family, with your children. And my question gears more towards the expectancy of something happening fantastic or great. And then when you, as far as your children and their response to something that you've asked them to do, and then you find that it was horribly in the opposite direction. And so it kindled that anger and you had to discipline them. But the anger was something that rose up in you. You know, it wasn't something that was there at first. But if you could explain how that scenario happened for you, and I'll, of course, share mine as well.
Well, first of all, I want to say that we ought to be looking at discipline in the same way that we would look at at something to save our children. We have to discipline very, very, very strictly to avoid the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is going to come down on our children a lot more than our discipline. Our discipline is minuscule. We've got to save our children from this. In order to keep them safe, we have to bring about a situation wherein they will be disciplined to avoid God's discipline. You think that we try to do something to save our children from God's wrath, so that's what we have to do. And I'm trying to think about an incident in my life wherein I tried to save the children from God's wrath. And a time that would come about that would save them if I would discipline them harder. And the thing that comes to mind was a time when we were out at the beach. And we were talking about going out into the water and going across a channel and into a little peninsula that was not far from us, but it would require that we walk across a very rough area of the ocean where the currents were swirling and swirling. And I said to them, we've got to go together. If we're going to do it, we've got to do it together. We can't go separately. And lo and behold, it wasn't long before my children were out there. And it was such a terrible, terrible current. And it was drawing my children out into the ocean. So as quickly as I could, I got out into the water and brought them together and said, we're going to stand together in this. And I had to pay for not disciplining my children in that I actually lost one lens from my glass, and my glasses were my only pair. So I was trying to reach down into the water to try to find the lens of my glass, and the currents were drawing us out deeper into the ocean. And we were swaying in water. We were just rocking back and forth in the water. And my son said to me, Dad, we've got to give this up. We've got to go to land. And he's right. He was right. We had to do it. We had to go to land. We had to go together. We had to hold on to each other and go into the water. If we would have gone separately, we surely would have been washed away. But as it was, the strength of the four of us combined with me, all of us together, holding hands and drawing forth in toward the land. We took it very, very slowly and held on to each other dearly, until we finally got onto the land again and finally pulled ourselves up onto the beach. And we're so very happy. But I know in my heart that if had I not gone out into the water and tried to get my children together, that they would have just been carried out to the ocean. There would have been no saving them. And I'm just thankful to God that he got me off of my hind end and got me out in that water that day to bring us together and pull us out of that terrible current into the beach area where we were safe. And this is an incident that happened to me personally, and I'll never forget it. I'll also never forget that my son saved us when he told me, forget your glass lens. We got to make it into the beach. So it was a double whammy. Not only did Father God discipline my children in fear and anger, but also when we finally got to land, we realized that we had to listen to me, that the children had to listen to me, and that I had to listen to the Father God, in order to be safe from the current, in order to be safe from the ocean that draws out into the deep. So thank you, Father God. Thank you, Yah. And I'll pass it back to you. And Rabbi, I hope that we can understand that all the things that happened in the kingdom, back in Lamentations, could happen now.
Yeah.
And they may come down on us now.
Yeah.
In the same way that ocean current was about to sweep us out. Thank you. Thank you much.
Amen. Amen. And I totally concur with that. I was just personally going through a lamentation, if you will, as a parent, as I was listening to what you were saying, because that to me would have been horrifying. and the fact that the Father spoke through you to you, to your children, and you moved quickly is worth great praise. I was thinking about a couple of incidences in my own life with my own children, with our children, me and my wife. And the first one that comes up was probably the most horrific for any parent. And it deals with our second son. And he was a teenager in high school. And they had a very very good baseball team for the division that they were in. And the young people were very close. They were very close to one another. They were very connected. It was a kind of a country town, so you're even more connected. There's a family bond that happens. And long story short, one of the individuals was just one of the young men. I was a little bit on the cantankerous side. And because of that, he really, really, I don't want to say he was spoiled, but to a degree he kind of was. And he had a car. It was a very fast car. And he had taken some of the other individuals on the baseball team. They had spent the night, and they had asked if we got my story correct. How it is, when it's been quite a few years from this happening, but they had asked if Johnny could go, and I'm not sure between the both of us, my wife and myself, we had a check in our spirit, and let him know that no, you can't, go, and it was kind of a sad thing, in a sense, because it was sad only because of the fact that Johnny hadn't done anything wrong. He was very obedient and everything. We just didn't write about that situation and about that young man. And lo and behold, unbeknownst to us, I mean, God knows all things, right? But unbeknownst to us, the young man had went out with the rest of it was like between 4 to 5 total, including him, in his vehicle at night. And he was also with a couple of the others that were in another vehicle. And he was kind of hot rodding and had gotten the vehicle up to well over 80, possibly close to 90 miles an hour, and was coming around a hairpin turn and lost it and wrapped the car around a tree. It killed him instantly. It threw most of the kids that were in there out because not all of them had seatbelts. And the news broke in that small town. And it really just riveted. I mean, it just, to the core, it riveted the whole town. Because, like I said, it was a small town, and everyone knew each other. And kind of tried to look out for each other and for our children as if they were our own. And I realized, and I know my wife did as well, but I realized that if I would have not been firm and stern, if I would not have laid down the law, if I had not had heard the Lord, if we, my wife especially, had not heard the Lord on this particular situation, we potentially could not have our son. Because he would have been in a situation where his life could have been compromised just because of the Lord in our life. Because Satan always wants to take out those that are of the Lord so that there's less impact for the kingdom here on this earth. But I'll never forget that. I'll never forget how it impacted me. I'll never forget how I realized as a father, when you have to be stern, when you have, as a parent, when you have to be stern, when you have to, when your anger rises up and you have to make harsh decisions that are going to affect your children, immediately it's going to affect them very painfully. And they may not even see for a little while. They may not see the importance of what God through you are doing. But I have to get to the place where I have to not try to sympathize or to let my sympathy guard down, to open the door for the adversary to take my child out. Because that's exactly what would have happened. Exactly. And even my child, our second child, took that lesson to heart. Because he knew the young man, and he knew the kind of attitude that the young man had, and was somewhat leery himself. So it didn't hurt him that the answer was no. As a matter of fact, I think he was more relieved because he had an out, because of his feeling of being uncomfortable with the individual driving. But even if he had not, even if he begged me and begged my wife to try to sympathize and to not feel so restrictive in his life, the question is to me, to us, as parents, would we have had the fortitude? Would we have had the discipline within ourselves and the resolve within ourselves to say no? No is no. No is not maybe. No is not, well, if you continue to pester me and harbor more and more because of the pestering, I'm tired of you pestering, so therefore I'll let you have it, or I'll let you do it, or I'll concede. No. And see, with the anger of the Father, with this particular passage of scriptures that we just read, there was something that the daughters of Zion, there was something that the children of Israel were doing that was causing the Father's anger. Because in this passage, Mr. Steve, I felt the gravity and the emotion as you were reading, that you even picked up that the Father basically nullified his enjoyment of the solemn feast in that particular passage. Now, wait a minute. The solemn feasts are a feast where he enjoys getting together with his children. You know, it's the times that, you know, you go like, and I remember in times past that we've been in episodes past for you, Mr. Steve, you said that you enjoy camping with your children. So it's like, yeah, them being so disruptive that you cancel all of the campouts. You cancel. He said, no, we're not going on any more campouts right now. So the Father is saying, no more feasts. But he loves those feasts. So something had to disrupt him, Mr. Steve, for him to say, no more Sabbaths. You pollute my Sabbaths. You pollute my campouts. No more fishing. Put your fishing rods up. This is more than just a time out. You've angered me. You've come against the core of my beliefs pertaining to you and pertaining to me, pertaining to us as a family. And I can't receive it or accept it anymore at this time. Now, Mr. Steve, what causes a parent, what causes a father in this case, to go to that extreme, in your opinion? Go ahead, sir.
Well, I really believe that unless you discipline, your children are going to bring you grief. Your children, if they fall into the wrath of God, you're going to feel it too. You better do the right thing with your children. You better bring them up in the right way, because if they go astray, who gets hurt? You do too. The pain you feel. Can you imagine losing a child and the pain that you'd feel because you hadn't disciplined them? You hadn't told them the way that they must go, and they ended up in death? You have to try to avoid those terrible, terrible things that can come upon your children if you don't discipline. But in the end, you suffer too. The lifelong suffering from the loss of a child, and even if it's not as grave as a death, if a child goes astray and you have to see them wither away, you see them go into sin and on the path to death, because you didn't discipline them, and now you're feeling their pain, you're feeling, what can I do, Lord, to save my child? And I'm thinking of eating disorders, you know, if you didn't bring up a child to eat right. And then you have to watch your child die and feel the pain that you feel because you just hadn't paid attention, because you hadn't done the right thing when the child was young. There are all kinds of ways to discipline, but the one thing that you have to keep in mind is you've got to do it or you're going to have the pain. You're going to have the suffering. It's going to be lifelong. So you better get with it. You better understand that as a child is hurt, the parent is hurt also. You can imagine, Father God, how much it hurt him to bring wrath upon his children. But he had to do it. And it's the same way with us as parents. We have to realize that if we don't do it, we lose an opportunity to save our children. We lose an opportunity to save our children's grief. And as the child suffers, the parent suffers. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind that it's in a selfish way that you're going to be the one that has to dish out the punishment, but at the same time, if you don't dish out the punishment, you're liable to be the one who ends up suffering for the lifelong loss of a child or the lifelong deterioration of a child. So keep that in mind and think about it. And we as a kingdom, we as a nation, we need to think about it too. We need to think about what we're doing right now. You know, the lack of discipline as a nation, and how we're going to suffer in the future if we don't get a grip on it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Exodus 32, 10 and 11. Exodus 32, verses 10 and 11. Steve, if you can get that for us in the King James and in the Amplified while I share my heart pertaining to Exodus 32, chapter 32.
Yeah,
Exodus chapter 32, verses, start at verse 10, and we're also going to read verse 11. Now, before you read that, I just kind of want to give a little preface here.
All right.
I don't know with certain families how they interact, and I thank God for my wife. And I say this not just for kudos. I mean, it's always good as for us husbands to have kudos with our spouses, that's for sure. But my wife was very reluctant to ever step into the disciplines that I would administer. And I, in turn, was very reluctant, extremely actually, to step in whenever she had to administer the disciplines. And the reason why I say that is because there are too many times that when one of the spouses is getting ready, or the parents are getting ready to administer, it hasn't been well, either well thought out on the part of the person that's administering it, or it has been thought out and it's definitely of God, but yet the other spouse is causing interference and actually separating the hierarchy relationship of the family and the cohesiveness and unity of the family by trying to usurp the authority, trying to appease the children and trying to look good in their eyes, but yet disrupting the flow and the unity and the relationship of the parents and the cohesiveness that the parents should have during discipline, during these times of discipline. And in Exodus chapter 32, verse 10 and 11, it's interesting that Moses takes the viewpoint of trying to enter into a dialogue and a restitution for the children as the father is getting ready to place a harsh wrath upon those particular children. Now, the beauty of this, and we as parents can learn from them, glean from this, is that Moses never does this in front of the children of Israel. Never. Moses does this privately in personal dialogue with him and Yah. So as parents, we can glean from this and learn that, hey, we need to get our game plan together privately before we actually go out in front of the children and then begin to deal with the disciplines that need to be laid down. So, Mr. Steve, I'm going to have you read this. This is Exodus chapter 32, verses 10 and 11, first in the King James and then in the Amplified, sir, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Now I'm going to read the same from the Amplified. Now, therefore, let me alone and do not interfere, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you, your descendants, a great nation. But Moses appeased and entreated of the Lord his God and said, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Thank you, Lord.
So with that, can you share with us, if you would, and I, of course, will also, a time when you and your wife had to confer back, separate from your children, to defer the anger or the punishment, let's say, that you had thought to give them, and that reason had to be discussed or had to be forthcoming in order to rationalize exactly how to administer that versus administering it in a heat of passion or a heat of anger, if you will, Mr. C.
Well, one time it was a situation wherein my children had to deal with the introduction of their cousins into our home. And one of the cousins was a female and of an age that she was just very young and hardly able to understand anything having to do with the discipline, a child, very small child, and very much a joy. But the older children sometimes got themselves in situations where there were fights. And it tore me apart. I hated it. Well, one time the situation became such that my older children got all together, and they were just egging two people on. They were egging my son, my middle son, on. They were in a situation where they could have stopped the fight. But they could have said, no, don't do that. You know that Dad won't put up with that. We'll all be in trouble if we egg this on and he hears that we're trying to start a fight. But no, they didn't listen to that kind of wisdom, that inside wisdom that talks to you. They went ahead and egged both parties on. They tried to get things stirred up, and they were actually wanting the fight to happen. Well, it did. And it was just rolling around and fighting and struggling, beating each other's heads, and it was just a terrible fight. And I ran over and tried to break it up, and finally I got the two broken up, and I listened, and I heard all that had happened from a distance. I began to think about what I was going to do when I got over there. And I got to thinking that I was going to have to punish all the children, not just the two that were fighting. So I got all my children, and I said, we're all going to have to go through a situation of discipline in this regard, because you all are suffering from evil. You all are being imparted into a situation where you're going to get in trouble. If you egg a fight on, you're as bad as the fighters. You're belligerent. You're trying to bring about a situation of grief in me. You know that I feel bad when you guys fight each other. So I lined them up. I lined them all up, even my daughter. Even my daughter, my precious daughter, who I love dearly. And I got out my fraternity paddle. And I waxed hard against my middle son, who was actually the one fighting. So much so that it hurt me. I felt really bad that I had disciplined him that way. And then my nephew, having to discipline him even though he was a guest in our house. And I loved him. I loved him much. I loved him like a son, that I had to punish him. And I did so in the same way that I did to my own son. I was hard on him with the paddle. And I went through all the children. And my daughter just looked at me like, are you really going to do this? And I really did. Now, later on, after all this was over, and I was in a situation where I almost was ready to cry. I felt bad about what I'd done. So I went off and didn't let them see me in a situation where I was grieving because of what I had done. I wanted them to understand that I was going to dish out the punishment anytime this happened again. They were going to get punished if this were about to come again. So, of course, I went to my wife and talked to her. Of course, I shared with her what I had done and talked to her about whether or not this was the right thing to do, and we coached each other. It's a beautiful relationship when you can coach each other, when you can love each other enough not to be ridiculing each other, but actually coaching each other. By that I mean trying to bring about a learning situation wherein if the same thing happens again, it'll be done in a way that is thought out. There's preparation made so that everybody knows what their part is in it, and what everyone knows what they're supposed to do if it comes up again. So what we decided is that I was right. I was right in doing what I did, because everybody had to be punished. Those that egged on the fight and those that carried out the fight all had to be punished. So that's an incident in my own life we're in. After I had dished out the punishment, I wondered whether I'd done the right thing. thank you, God, for my wife, who always was able to bring sanity to a situation and bring about a situation where she coached me up to the point where I felt good about what I had done. And so the grief and the anger both went away. And by golly, later on that day, we were all together and everything was fine. I believe that even my daughter forgave me. But punishment is hard. It's hard on everyone. But I just didn't want my children to see that I was grieving because of what I'd done. And I'll never forget this situation. I'll never forget the looks and the hurt. Father God, I thank you for your wisdom. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know that for me, a similar but a little different situation happened. Not similar in the fact that our children were fighting, but just that they were getting rebellious. And one of the things that I had to work on is my anger, because I would snap. And, you know, I was all about business when it came to discipline. And I remember one time that I was just getting ready to snap, and my wife, you know, like you said, they know. She knew her husband. She knows me, and she kind of figured that I was getting ready to lose it if things didn't change. And she, with tremendous wisdom and loving care, kind of paused the situation that was about to happen without disrespecting me, which was not an easy thing in that particular scenario. It wasn't easy for her to do what she did, but she did it. And it was very well done. Then with the children being dismissed, she was able to sit down with me and we went through the process of my anger and why and what was the rationale, what was the right approach. Because yeah, there was a violation, but you know, it was more of a misdemeanor and not a felony. And I was definitely looking at everything pretty much as boom, you know, you're gonna get this, you know, you're gonna get the wrath of dad, you know, type of thing. And as opposed to the judgment of dad. And our Heavenly Father is very much the same way. You know, he has the wrath, but that wrath is for, as the scriptures say, for the children of disobedience. Now, that disobedience is a consistently rebellious individual that will not change. Okay? Now, that's his wrath. His wrath is set for that. But his judgment is different. Within his judgment, there's mercy. So if the mercy button is hit within his judgment, if there's a reality of, hey, dad, you know, I was wrong. I did you wrong. I did the parents wrong. Mom wrong. And I went further than I should have. And not a confession of sin based upon trying to get appeasement, but based upon an aha moment before the backside, you know, reestablishes that aha moment. When that happens, then, you know, it lightens, or it should lighten, the blow of discipline and punishment. And in the relationship with me and my wife, she just lovingly began, she heard me out, I heard her out, but then she left it to me instead of, you know, saying, no, this isn't going to happen. And I was so touched by that. I was moved by that. And it was very similar, in my opinion, to this particular passage, Exodus 32, 10, and 11, where Moses is not trying to mandate to God or tell God that he's wrong. He's just giving him a perspective of the outcome of what can happen if God does decide to do that. I mean, God still has the right to do as he sees fit. But it gives a perspective that allows us to say, hey, we can have a dialogue with the creator of the universe and respecting his office, respecting who he is, respecting even what he's saying, but offering an alternative so that alternative could be thought through and potentially, possibly, taken as the right course of action. It's so important, I believe, that for us to understand the anger that God has against us by also understanding the anger that he has for us. We're getting ready to transition into closing this part of the two-part question, and we will take up the next part question that was posed in the beginning of this episode, and that was God's anger for his children. And in closing, one of the things that I think that those who are listening need to understand is, and I know it's so right, it's so the way I feel, and I believe it's not just me as an individual in my own family, but I think it's a corporate feeling. It's a macro feeling of the way any parent would feel, and that is the anger against our children is promoted because of the anger for our children. In other words, because I love so much my children, when they get out of line, that promotes the anger in order to get them in line. It goes back to what you said, Mr. Steve, in the beginning of this broadcast, when you were talking about the wrath of God and us doing the restrictive disciplines that we must do as parents in order for them not to fall within that scope of the wrath of God. So in other words, I love you enough to discipline you now so that you won't fall prey to this over here. And I see that in my mom and my dad. I see that in myself and in my wife and our relationship with our children. And something else that's happening is that I see also that same guide in my children to our grandchildren. And that is, for me as a grandparent now, that is a satisfying feeling. It is very satisfying for me. It's very comforting for me. It's very assuring for me that part of the discipline and the training process that's necessary to keep them closer to the straight and narrow, to keep them away from the wrath of God, to keep them away from calamity that will happen to those who walk in disobedience and live in disobedience. That is a comforting feeling to me. That makes me feel very, very good about the next generation and the generation after that. That there's opportunities for them to live a holy life, to live a life separate from sin and wickedness and evil, to live more obedient and less disobedient. That's such an important piece. Minister Steve, I have a Minister Steve. I keep saying that too often. But Mr. Steve, if you could pray for us as parents pertaining to our anger, so that we can adhere just a little bit better to what the Father's design desire is for those types of the righteous types of punishments and not the unrighteous punishments and administering disciplines and pertaining to anger. If you could pray that in the next couple of minutes that we have, and then I will go ahead and have you also give an understanding of how individuals can understand a little bit more about us as far as information and things of that nature as well. I'll pass it to you now.
Hallelujah. Praise you. Yah, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Yeshua. Father God, we agree together here today that anger doesn't always bring about the best result when we follow through on our anger. That often we need to think. We need to consider what's going to happen. What are the implications of what we do? If we do it in anger, it could be a result that hurts us. It makes us, as parents, feel like we've failed. And we need to feel like we've done a good thing and done the right thing, the righteous thing, and not the thing that would bring about hurt and solace in our own lives because of our anger. Father God, we agree that we're going to do everything we can to listen to you, that your Holy Spirit will intervene in our lives in such a way that we cannot avoid you and your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would take over situations where in our anger we were about to do something that was going to be a failure, anger that was going to bring about hurt, not success. We just turn that over into you. We roll that all over into you, Father God, that you're going to help us and that your Holy Spirit is going to reach out to all of us and help us find the right way to discipline our children. That we'll bring up our children in such a way that they will understand what they have to do, that they will understand that they cannot hurt people, that they cannot reach out and try to bring the next generation into a righteous way of life unless they themselves are also righteous in their living. Help us, Lord, to know that we're doing the right thing with our children. We ask that your Holy Spirit would just continue to guide and direct our lives in every way so that our nation will not suffer from the things that we do that are wrong, and that there will be no world anger, that there will not be any kind of new anger brought about in such a way that we have war as a nation and as a people, that we would find that we have understanding and not anger in our individual lives and in our nation and in the world. Thank you. Praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And with that being said, Mr. Steve, how can they find out more information about us? And after you share that, I will go ahead and pray and close out this broadcast.
Sure. Sorry, I'm getting over to that part of it, and I'll be there in just a second. Oh, come on.
Well, I'll tell you what. While you're looking for it, I'm going to go ahead and have Pastor Doug do the after Torah, okay? And then I'll pass it right back to you.
I can do it. I have it. Thank you for joining us today, understanding the Father's love. We're glad that you've taken time to engage in the study of Yah's Word. We encourage you to study these things as Bereans and see if these things are true. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. Questions, would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, email us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. That's BETHHASHEM.ORG. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BethHashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zaka University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.BethHashem.org. And if you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can make a contribution via Cash App. That's CASHAPP, parentheses, http://www.cash.app/ $BethHashem, parentheses closed. Or mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. That's 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have generously given, we say thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and have Pastor Doug do the actual after Torah prayer, and then after that, I will pray as well. Pastor Doug?
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And Father, we just thank you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. We submit to your authority. We submit to you as a Father that cares for us and cares about the things that we go through each and every day. We thank you, Father God, that you embrace us, that you are right there with us, and that you never leave us nor forsake us throughout this world and through the chaos and the wickedness of this world. Father, we have your protection, that as we yield and submit ourselves to what you have for us and what you say to us and how you guide us, we thank you and I thank you that I can trust my Father. I can trust my Heavenly Father. I can know that I can go to Him in times that I just need to be consoled and to share my heart and to allow Him to help to build me up and to cause me to be the type of person that He's called me to be, that He affirms me. I need affirming, Father God, and you affirm these things about me and about us and about what you and I are to procreate and to co-create together. I thank you for that. I thank you for the disciplines that you give me that we've talked about on this broadcast. I thank you that I'm understanding even the more that the anger that you have against my sin is against my sin and not against me. It's against my iniquity, my willful sinning. But it's not against me. It's against my habitual, continual sinning, transgression. But it's not against me. That you truly do love me, and therefore you discipline my actions to correct the actions that are incorrect in me. So I embrace that, and I embrace you, and I thank you, even though it hurts me, even though it pains me, I understand what the pain is trying to teach me. So I submit to your instruction. In Yahushua's name we pray, and until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.